welcome to Guild Fight Association Football. I'm Ben McCormick, joined by Ryan McCauley and Brown Moyer. Gentlemen, how are you?
What's up?
I'm lovely. How are you, Ben?
I am fine. Well, except for, it's been a tough week in Yank news. A lot of injuries. Stu Holden was back and played well and is now going under the knife again, which I don't really understand.
Basically, he had that surgery to fix the knee that got fucked up because people are terrible.
Some people. I'm looking at you, Nigel DeYoung.
Well, this was the...
Johnny Evans.
Yeah, that's right.
So
but DeYoung's still a douche.
Yeah, fuck that guy. But basically, they need to go back and do some follow-up procedure, just basic. He had some pretty significant knee injury, a lot of damage, and they had to go back and do a routine follow-up. They were hoping to hold off till the summer, but they pushed it up for some reason, which kind of concerns me. But I guess if it is just a routine procedure that they claim, and he's back in November, I guess it's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, it really wouldn't be the worst thing.
I mean, let's look at it this way. If it really was set for the summer, would you prefer him missing the October and November friendlies or qualifying in the summer?
Good point. I would much rather him miss these friendlies. Although now...
I'd rather him miss time with Bolton
than
with us.
I agree.
Because I am selfish.
And now we have Jose Torres, who is injured, which sucks because he was starting to really come on as an important part of the national team.
Which I think, honestly, we know Torres is going to be an important piece. I think this is actually a good chance for Kluschen to get a real shot, because Kluschen has been one of the more consistent performers in the last 2-3 games, and I want to have him get another shot.
I like Sach a lot, and even a guy like Failhaber in MLS. He's always solid and serviceable.
Probably Benny right now. He's playing with the second worst team in the league. And New England is just an absolute disaster.
The worst team in America.
The worst American team, indeed.
Right. So who do you put in that midfield spot?
Kluschen. It's Kluschen for me. There's no question.
It's Kluschen, but who else? Because
there's no question
now,
on Kluschen.
No, it's Kluschen.
There's no question on Kluschen.
Yeah, there's no. I want a bumper sticker of that now.
I want Evel Knievel in the Axis of Evil.
And
that's
yeah.
No burn.
No, it's not. It's Kluschen. No, that's not that hard for me to.
Okay, well, now we have Michael Bradley coming back, so where does he figure in?
Does he right now? I think
he's
okay,
playing well for
Verona. If you ask me, bench Edu. I'm not a huge Mo fan.
At all?
I don't think he's that good.
Well, if it comes down between him, Jones, and Bradley, I'd agree.
I'd pick Bradley.
Yeah, I'd pick Bradley
right
now.
I'd pick Edu and keep Bradley in.
And Jones still is not playing, although Schalke did get a new manager.
Once again, Schalke's firing their manager.
No, they didn't fire. He quit because of health problems.
Whatever.
He quit because of a some kind of sickness, which causes extreme illness, tiring and fatigue, which I think might just be being Schalke's manager.
Just getting old.
Yeah, just like, what?
Or being Schalke. That's very true.
or just being Schalke's manager. So maybe he'll get a new shot with the new manager, who is, I forget his name, but he was their manager of the century for the 20th century. They brought him back. So pulling a Liverpool. So maybe he'll get some time.
And I guess, where does your midfield, with the current injury and form status, who's your midfield right now? Assuming you have the 4-5-1.
I'd go with Beckerman in the defending midfield slot. I really, really liked him when he's been playing with the national team. That's tough. I'd put Dempsey back inside. I think that he'd do well in the middle. Him or Donovan are going to occupy one of those two midfield slots. I would prefer it to be Dempsey at this point. And, gosh, I don't even know about that. Do you guys think Dempsey or Donovan in the middle?
Neither.
Neither? You want them both on the wing?
Mm-hmm.
I'd have Dempsey.
Dempsey on the right, down on the left.
I'd have Dempsey in the middle, Donovan and Shea on the outsides with Bradley and Jones.
At this point, I think Shea is a super sub at this point.
You don't think he's a starter?
I don't right now. Well, especially right now. His form is... The entire Dallas form has fallen apart.
Dallas he's still playing apart with the injuries currently.
Well, he's a little banged up. He's exhausted. So, right now, I don't have Shea starting.
Okay, so then what do you guys think about the defending midfield position?
I think Bradley gets one spot because he's back. He's taking corner kicks for Verona.
Which is surprising. I didn't know he had it in him.
Neither did I, but apparently he's putting in some good balls.
If you guys saw the goal that he assisted on, the corner was not that great, but the header was pretty good. Has to be said.
Now, are we playing...
Let's put it this way. It's a much better ball than Donovan. It's much better than Donovan's service the past year. Donovan cannot get over the wall. Donovan has been shit from the corner.
He absolutely has. Now, are we talking 4-2-3-1 as in having one guy at the top of a triangle who's going forward and two holding midfielders behind him? Or are we doing a 4-1-4-1 where you almost have an upside-down triangle?
Well, given the Jurgen system, I think you have two holding and one at the point of the triangle. For me, it's Donovan on the left, Dempsey on the right, and then Bradley occupies one of the spots. If we're playing domestically, if we're playing like a Latin team, you know, like a Mexico or a Guatemala, it's Beckerman. But a European squad, I think Jones gets that spot. Just because I think Beckerman's better suited for CONCACAF opposition than an international, at least European or Asian or African team, what have you. And at the point, give Klaassen the shot.
I agree. I mean, at this point, our national team has some pretty big injuries, and we're finally having the ability to see our depth of midfield, mm-hmm. which is palpable. I mean, it is deep. So now you got Holden, now you got Torres out, and you still have solid options to put anywhere in that midfield.
Yeah.
Which is encouraging. It is fun.
I like this.
This is very good. Oh, and as I mentioned, Bob Bradley is in fact official. When we last spoke about him, we spoke as though he was official, but
he's officially official.
Yeah, he is officially official. He's officially the coach of Egypt.
Can either of you picture Bob Bradley managing the Egyptian team with their World Cup qualifying group, which has Zimbabwe and Congo? Can you imagine him going to the Congo and Zimbabwe?
I can now. He's going to get wicked sunburn.
He is going to get
absolutely. Imagine how red his dome's going to be. He's going to get
SPF 5000.
He's going to get skin cancer.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
confirm,
I already know.
Bob exactly. Bradley for skin cancer.
What they're going to do is they're going to play a 4-5-1 because Bob is afraid of all of his mighty opponents, and they're going to win 1-0 every match and get all of the points, but it'll be the ugliest thing that any Egyptian fan has ever seen.
Well, what does he get first, the skin cancer or the malaria?
He's in...
Probably skin cancer, because malaria is...
Not really that in the north. Regardless, let's let Rob stop with his African stereotypes. Move on.
So, you know, again, the roster isn't out yet. I thought that it might be out by the time we had the show.
You should know better.
But I figured Jurgen might actually release it.
You should know better.
I'm an optimist. And just because you're a pessimist doesn't mean you have to take it out on me.
You should just know. We never have rosters before, like, the day of the game.
I think this guy's going to play. Why not? Orozco! Did anyone honestly think he was going to start against Mexico? No.
Gosh, I remember a few times in the past year or two when we've actually gotten reports of players, like, having their flights scheduled and their teams actually released a player, you know, oh, he's going to be out on international break prior to even the U.S. national team saying that they're going to be there. It's stupid. So,
I mean, Honduras and Ecuador already have their lineups out.
Yeah, they do. No Andy Nahar? Is that the story?
Is that confirmed?
I believe it is. Okay.
Well, if it is, I'm glad that he decided to pick them over the U.S.
I'm glad he went to Honduras.
You're glad that we don't have the option to play somebody?
Yeah.
Well, you see, we wouldn't have the option to play him for another 4 years anyway.
Yeah.
So that's some serious, serious time. And who knows what will happen to him. And for to ask any person to wait 4 years of their career as a soccer player, because anything can happen.
Well, that's why Euro went to Armenia.
Which is, well, I still wish you, gosh. He had like a year left. He could have waited, and he could have started.
But
he didn't.
When European qualifiers come calling.
His hair is not of U.S. national team quality. It's just a shape.
Andy Nahar is not part of the group. That's correct.
Speaking of hair, we decided...
Yes, last week, after our discussion of Frankie Hayduk taking over the world, we thought this week's 23 should be the best hair of any American professional.
Okay, now the rules that we had are that they have to be an active U.S. player playing professionally somewhere.
They have to be eligible for the U.S. national team.
As in, they cannot be capped anywhere else. So Kai Kamara, regardless of his awesome hair, is not eligible.
Kamara has been capped in an African Cup of Nations qualifier and therefore is ineligible to play for the U.S.
Correct.
So dual citizens can still be capped, but not ineligible ones.
And you cannot have a whole team of Frankie Hayduks.
I wish you could, but yes, you cannot. It has to be 23 different people.
Damn.
And they also have to be current. So I know Miola is and Alexi Lalas.
Friedel's also ineligible because he's retired internationally, so Friedel can't get the call.
Or Brian McBride.
You can unretire the hair.
Nah, he's out.
I didn't take him.
Well, all right. Since Ben just did his 5 minutes ago, let's let him lead off.
No, I wanted to steal your brilliant ideas.
Ben leads off. All right,
I went with goalkeeper Matt Pickens. He's got a nice head of hair, some medium sized locks.
I think Pickens is more of a.
Are we counting all hair on the head or just on the top of it? Are we counting facial hair? I should say.
I believe I was thinking the James top Harden of head the rule? Whole time.
Well, I don't think facial hair really counts. However, I think the fact that Pickens had great hair, has the potential to have great hair again,
mm-hmm.
leads him to have a spot on the roster.
Right. And the beard just pushes it forward.
The beard gives him extra points. Kind of like, you know, Danny Califf would have extra points with a facial hair.
If he wasn't a douchebag.
If he wasn't, yeah. So then also a goalkeeper, I have Tim Howard and Marcus Hanneman because of their lack of hair.
Indeed.
Hanneman has an impressive chrome dome.
Indeed he does.
Just saying, as does Howard. Howard's got a nice tan going on. So those are my three goalkeepers. I'm bringing 9 defenders because, as you'll find out over the course of our rosters, right back is the deepest hair place on the U.S. national team.
I had 8 guys on the short list to play right back.
We have great hair.
We have phenomenal hair right back.
So then I moved a couple of guys from right back to left back.
Because, as usual, left back is barren.
Exactly. So at defense, we got Zach Lloyd, who's got some nice... A little bit long hair. It could get longer.
He cut it again.
Well, did he?
Cut it again, yeah.
Okay, well, he has potential for better hair. And he's a badass, which helps the hair persona.
Indeed.
Which segues nicely into Frankie Hayduk, whose hair is incredible. Sheenan Williams of the Philadelphia Union has some nice hair going on.
Who are they?
They're just a sucky team from the East
Coast. Just continue.
We Eric Lehigh, I have as one of my left backs. He's got nice hair when he puts some gel on it. Looks pretty good. Same goes for our captain Carlos Bocanegra. Also looks good with some gel. And then we have Danny Califf, which goes against most things I believe in,
like God,
like pretty much anything.
I believe his hawk is currently gone.
Is it?
I don't care.
Yeah. I believe it was still I cool believe he's got here. Like a shaved head look going on right now.
I considered putting Danny in just as a legacy, but I fucking hate Danny Califf. He can't make any roster I ever make. Once it's guys you hate and want to punch in the face.
All right,
he's
so
a fucking captain.
Can I hear some? Here's some off the wall guys. AJ Suarez.
Soares,
whatever. The guy from. The Revs, he's got some nice locks going on, as does Stephen Keel, who has a great head of hair, plays for the Red Bulls. That guy has some golden locks. And then Kevin Alston, who has the ability.
AJ Soares, what a haircut.
That's not AJ Soares.
AJ Soares.
That is not a... Oops.
Who did you pick? Dumb.
Benjamin.
Okay. Who do you think AJ Soares is? He's got a fucking crew cut.
I thought he was kind of like Prince, but guys, the white version.
While you guys are doing your rosters, I'll look up who I thought it was. Okay, anyway, Stephen Keel, good choice in my opinion. That guy's got a great head of hair. As does Alston, who was also on the Rebs. That guy, if he ever wants to have it pulled out, great afro. That guy... Kind of one heck of a fro. Midfield mix. Is there any question? That guy is just beautiful.
He's part of your Paul Gilson sponsorship duo.
Paul Mitchell.
Paul Mitchell part.
Yeah, exactly. Paul Mitchell sponsorship. We have Discarude. We have Stu Holden, who is next on my list. And then if Graham Zusi gets called in, there is no way that that sponsorship is not done. Because obviously Stu has incredible hair. His hair has thousands of followers on Twitter, which is funny. And then Graham Zusi, whose long shot is almost as good as his hair, which is really saying something. Then we have Beckerman because he pulls off the Rasta thing pretty well.
The white Rasta thing.
The white, exactly. Then I have Michael Bradley for his lack of hair, chrome doming since inception in the MLS, isn't it?
He used to have great hair, too.
Really?
He had great flow. Back in the U20s, he had some flowing locks.
And now he's just, you know, like father, like son. Except, well, I don't... Do you think he does it because he can't grow hair and because he's losing it? Or is he just doing it just to do it?
I hope he's, you know, not losing his hair by, what, 24?
Look at that top. Look at that.
Well, that's, yeah, mop top he used to have when he was at Heerenveen.
I gotta find the old picture of him as in the U20s.
Wow, that's something.
But then,
there we go. Look at these. These are the full national teams.
Wow. He did have a
good hair. We're on air, guys.
All right, so then the next one.
Hey, you guys can't see what we're looking at.
Is Jonathan Spector. I feel like he's got a nice, clean. It's not a mullet.
He had a mullet.
I'm not saying he doesn't, but right now it's just a. Oh wow! I'm looking at these old pictures of Jonathan Spector, and yeah, that is.
Look at his Man United days.
He's just got a clean cut.
That's a mullet
haircut.
That's a mullet.
Oh yeah, that's a mullet from his Man United.
The damn Chicago kids.
Moving into forward, Steven Lenhart. He's got really good hair, playing for the Earthquakes now, I believe.
Yep.
And then
John Spector, what a haircut! Did you
look
even,
at him? Look
did
at
you
him
even
World
try?
Ben, look at him
even,
World Cup.
Did you even try?
Look at his World Cup haircut.
Did you even try?
I made effort.
I wish you'd stop bringing GBA to a new low.
I think as of today, Ben is the LVP of today's podcast.
The least,
least valuable person.
I'm not agreeing. I'm just saying it hurts. I have Connor Casey for his lack of hair because it's
Connor Kersey.
Indeed.
Breck Shea because it's unlike anything that this world has ever seen and probably ever will see.
I thought
hair of the gods.
I thought you were gonna ban him. You were bitching about him on Friday or Saturday.
Some
see,
say
it's
that
so
his hair
distinct.
Is actually
like,
the
you know, you can't
of
keep
Zeus himself.
What?
Ignoring that. Sacha Kljestan because he is, again, the potential to have a great head of hair. His
last year was
at Chivas.
It
was so awesome.
The thing is, he had it, was playing well.
Samson Complex.
He had his little Celtic dick tease, didn't turn out, got depressed, cut his hair, started sucking at soccer. Now it's coming back a little bit, and now he's playing well again. But
exactly.
That porn stash has to go.
Oh, the porn stash head for sure has to go. I wonder.
Only one person can pull off the mustache. Heath Pierce.
Oh, that's so true.
That's a mustache.
Now, do you think that he had cut his hair because his model wife had told him to?
Heath had great hair in the past, too. Look at that. That's gorgeous.
Heath Pierce has a neat part in
he
his
does.
Hair.
Wow. It's that's like on the good. Right side, too.
We're on air, guys.
All right, getting distracted, and one, because I was just lazy, was Benny Failhaber. I just think it's just, he has the potential for a good flat top, should he ever want
one.
He's
Jewish?
A flat top?
I feel like he could do a flat top. LVP.
Did you even try?
Well, he could be Will Smith in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. We're just throwing that out there. Okay, well, I'm going to take the reins there. For somebody who put a little more
some thought
on,
and effort
not
into
as much as our last person, Ryan. My goalkeeper, Matt Pickens, I did it mainly with the facial hair because I personally thought goalkeeper was Slim Pickens.
Oh! And, Moyer, everyone.
Look at Pickens in the fire.
Defender?
He had a great
defender, I went Sheenan Williams. He had that kind of like Jerry Curl shit going on.
Indeed.
Gotta love that. Sean Franklin has the buzz with the little hair going down the middle for like a little mohawk. Classy. The hair of the gods, Franklin Hayduke. Ryan McCauley is smiling in approval.
Indeed.
And then my last defender, Waukesha's very own Tim Ward.
Yep.
He's got quite the bald head.
That's a cue ball.
I'll tell you. Then in the midfield, a lot of names that Ben had. Kyle Beckerman, just some lovely dreads. Stu Holden, I mean.
How can you not?
That goes for itself. You've got Breck Shea's lovely strands. And then one that Ben didn't have was Chance Myers.
He's a right back.
He's moving into midfield.
He's also played right mid, though, so.
I was told midfielder on MLS.
He's playing both right back and right mid.
And my strikers are the lookalikes. Okay.
You don't have mix.
Nope.
How you not?
How do you sleep at night?
I actually don't sleep very well.
That's probably why.
Mix is
and anyway, at striker, I have the clones, Tom Heineman and Steven Lenhart.
Yeah, Tom Heineman's got a fucking poodle on his head.
I mean, these are just white guys with curly froze. Yes. On the run.
Look at this. Look at that.
Oh, wow.
That is a freaking mop.
He looks like he looks like he belongs in Led Zeppelin backing up somewhere.
That picture is permtastic right there.
Oh, yeah. That's,
and...
I spent about 5-6 hours working on my 23. I looked at probably 500 people. I am not fucking around.
To be unemployed.
Yeah, unemployed. Have a broken ankle. I got nothing else to do with my life right now. I'm a piece of shit. Starting goalkeeper Matt Reese. That man has never had hair. Ever. Plus, he also gets points for his...
It never grew in.
He also gets points for having that... when he was with I think it was his fifth year in New England, did an April Fool's prank where he put a wig on and was introduced as Diego Fengundes or something, like some crazy shit like that.
Oh, you mean like the younger kid who's 16 years old? He's not eligible, is he?
No, they pretended to sign a Mexican goalkeeper.
Yeah. Oh.
It was really? Just Matt Reese in a wig. Just Matt Reese in this ridiculous mullet wig, and he spoke in broken Spanish. So Matt Reese gets points for never having hair and that ridiculous...
And not being afraid of it.
That ridiculous mullet gag they did. Backup is Timmy Howard. And then my third goalkeeper is Zach Thornton. Because that guy's bald as shit. Again, there are no well-haired...
Really aren't.
I mean, Will Hesmer had something going on in the past.
Matt Reese also used to have the soul patch, as I just looked up.
He did. Joe Cannon... had a nice thing going on, but he also had those sweet mutton chops, too. But Cannon's gone bald again, so, I mean, you got to go with, you know, the baldness for the roster.
Baldosity is high.
My left back, my main rule here is it has to be a natural look. So gel pretty much disqualifies you. So Boca Negra doesn't get my left back nod. It does go to Bornstein because he had a nice mop top. It's decent now, and there's no one better at left back. So, I guess Bornstein starts. How often do we say that?
we have said that before.
Fine.
Going over my two center backs, Stephen Keel, who just actually made a real start in real life, filling in for the suspended and hopefully...
He started for real.
And hopefully,
who made a start on merit, not hair.
No, he did. He started because they benched Marquez for being a prick. So Stephen Keel paired with Ryan Idele from Hapoel Ben Sheva. This guy has a ridiculous... I don't know if it's like a curly afro. It's nasty. Look at this. I gotta find him.
This is so obscure.
Here's the picture I found.
On Google Images, there is no results.
Here's the picture
I
found.
We are on air, everyone.
I'm gonna punch you, Robert.
Is this serious?
That's going to be the name of this podcast. We are on air.
Or I'm going to punch you, Robert.
I'm going to find him again. I don't know.
Right, the baby maker.
He's got great hair.
Anyway, what else you got?
So it's Keelan Idele in the center. The bench, we've got Clarence Goodson. Got nice flowing locks, which used to be longer. So we'll give him some slack there as well.
Oh, what a surprise. Goodson made McCollum's list.
The number four is Agbasamonde for making the appearance with the Ferro for the national team.
That's very true.
So I busted my number four. Right back was stacked. But the start goes to Kevin Alston because he has just the nappiest fro I've ever seen. Frankie Hayduk is the backup right back, and Chance Myers also as the third pick. But, I mean, I had to cut, you know, I had to cut Cheetah Williams, first of all, which...
Which is a hard thing to do.
It's a hard thing to do. Like, who else did I
get? He looks like Prince. How could you cut him?
Because he looks like Prince.
The thing is, it came down to Williams or Bassamante. I didn't want to have two froze because they'd fight. Their froze would fight.
It would not be fro-tastic.
No, they would be. That'd be nasty. My left backs or left mids, Breck Shea gets the nod because Breck Shea just. I don't know what Breck Shea's hair is.
He has a hair to match the skill set.
I don't know what his hair is, but Breck Shea gets the start.
It's actually taken from the mane of unicorns.
I have five center mids. I got Beckerman starting at defensive-ish back with Breck Shea leading the way. Beckerman's paired with Graham Zusi, which Zusi's hair is impressive enough. But go back to the beginning. He was bald at the beginning of the year. He was shaved bald and now has this. That's just a meteoric rise to the top. So Beckerman, Discrude, and Zusi are in the middle for me. My bench is Jovan Karofsky.
Okay, he's still eligible.
He's got great hair. And he's also the only American with a Champions League winner's medal, which he played like four games for Leverkusen but got one still. And then my number five is Clyde Sims, because that's a fro. That is a fro. And I didn't want a throw. That's why I
had to. It's a nice, small, but efficient fro.
It's basically if you combine Agbasemonde and Alston's hair, you'd get Clyde Sims. So Sims gets the start. My one exception to the no gel rule is Stu Holden, because it has its own Twitter account. Stu Holden's hair is Stu Holden's hair. My backup right mid is Roger Levesque.
Yeah, that's good hair.
It's short right now, but it's, you know, it was great. And he still has that mangy beard thing, which looks great on him. He looks like a fucking pirate. Then up top, I've got, Tymy Heineman starting up top. I think we all agree with that.
I do in hindsight.
Yeah, he's paired with Ken Davida Jensen. For Honfoss BK. He's technically... he's been capped by the Swiss, or the Swedish, but at a youth level, and it's still American eligible, so Kenneth Davida Jensen gets my backup, my number two striker spot.
He's only like 18.
Yeah, I think he's 19.
Very young.
The number three, Steven Lenhardt. I didn't want to pair Heinemann and Lenhardt together. Kind of like you don't want to pair like Jan Koller with, Connor Casey, because you can't have those two.
No, it wouldn't work.
It's the same style, so I've got Heinemann has the fro, and Davida Jensen has the locks.
Right.
And my last member is Andrew Stadler, who's playing in the Swedish 4th division, but grew up in Wauwatosa. I actually saw him play in high school. So
this guy has a ginger afro.
Yeah, he is definitely got that stoner quaff going on.
That's something else.
Congratulations, Andrew Stadler. You're playing the 4th division, but I still know who you are.
Now, if you're playing at the 4th division in Sweden, is that, like, enough money to actually live on, or do you have to have another
job? He made more than I did. Actually, he's making,
like, he's making more than I did. You are unemployed.
He's making, like, 35 grand, I think, this year, which is more than I'm making right now, so.
So, if that's for one person, you can,
yeah,
have some nice things.
And he might be getting nice free things. Rent and free car from the club, but yeah, regardless... Stadler is the last spot.
So now we're going to move on to women's national team update.
Speaking of long hair,
most people on the women's national team.
Basically, that's, again, my thing, because no one else watched the game, because you guys fucking suck. Support your women. Jesus. This past week, the U.S. played Canada twice. I don't know why, but I guess they chose Canada.
Because we can.
Fair enough. We saw a bit of a shift in the lineup back from the 4-4-2 we saw at the World Cup. He is going to more of a 4-2-3-1, hybrid 4-5-1, depending on how it's being played. In the opener, we saw Lepelbet, Rampone, Bueller, and Krieger in the back again.
Bueller.
And at this point, I think Rampone needs to go. She seems a bit off. She seems slow. I mean, she's getting up there in age. And I think this is her last hurrah, like Olympics, and she's done, I think, after that. I think Becky Sauerbrunn played well enough at right back in the second game to get a shot, taking over for Rampone. And Bueller just her feet aren't there. We saw what happened with the Japan game. Just couldn't get it out. Just doesn't really have the awareness. So right now, I think it's going to be Buehler and Rampone in the Olympics, but it's got to change soon. Lapel Bet's improved significantly. I mean, her beginning of the World Cup was a bit rough, but had no support in the midfield. But Lapel Bet will be there for the Olympics, playing well enough to keep getting some looks. The interesting thing is how they have set up the midfield. It's kind of like the Jurgen triangle in the midfield with Chaney and Lloyd anchoring with Rapinoe up top, which is a shift from her left wing position in the World Cup. She didn't look great. I mean, honestly, Rapinoe didn't look that good in the World Cup as it was. Her crosses were inconsistent at best. She has no left foot, but just happened to hit that one magical cross and kind of elevated her, you know, to the guy that she is now.
So you like Alex Morgan coming on top?
Morgan's on the bench for me. I don't think Morgan starts quite yet. And then you had Rodriguez on the left wing and O'Reilly on the right. And Rodriguez looks lost. I mean, she just doesn't have... I mean, she played well enough to get the goal against Italy and then just disappeared. I'm ignoring Rob Moyer right now. God damn it.
Why do we do this?
Why do we allow this to happen? And Abby Wambach is still...
I'm hoping that that went over most people's heads.
Wambach is still the heart and soul of this team. Three of the four goals, drew the penalty kick. And Morgan with the fourth goal of the week. I think Morgan is still the most dynamic player on the roster, but still I want her off the bench. And then Tobin Heath was the real revelation of this week. She had an incredible couple minutes at the end of both those games. She has the best feet. I mean, she had some nice flicks, worked very well with Rodriguez on the left. I'm sorry, with Rapinoe. And I think eventually Heath will take over Rodriguez's spot on the starting roster. That's my quick rundown of the women's. While we're on it, Hope Solo
has been just an absolute beast at the Dancing with the Stars so far.
Yeah, she opening week was third overall with their Viennese Waltz. Had some high praise from the judges. Their main problem is she's not feminine enough. Well, no shit, she's a goalkeeper.
Yeah, she's a goalkeeper. Her job isn't to be feminine.
Yeah, which. And they lost a couple points for the lack of fluidity, but they're impressed with her athleticism. No shit. Week two struggled a bit because she was playing.
Yeah.
She was playing professional soccer, so sorry she was distracted.
Excuses. Play like a champion.
Got a 19 out of 30. Was eighth overall, but still survived. And the next week, we're hoping for better from our Hope Solo. So that's the women's update.
Now here we're going to go into our power ranking, our MLS power rankings, the customary MLS power rankings. Some shakeups this week. A lot of results were a little bit curious. Then the top five got shaken up a little bit.
Everyone's losing. No one's winning.
Yeah, like literally.
Isn't
no one
that did. The MLS?
That's yes. This is the
fine. I guess they make it into the top five because everyone else kind of sucks.
Yeah.
And the top two are head and shoulders away, and then there's this pack of crap floating between.
Mine goes Los Angeles, obviously,
at
on
five?
Top. No. We're starting at one, I'm going to go down.
I like starting at five. Builds the end.
Okay, fine. Let's start at five, even though I've already ruined the ending. Five, I have Houston. Houston's been
still
playing
watch
well.
Titanic. Okay, number five, Houston.
Number five is Houston. And Real Salt Lake, not on this list, to be honest with you, because they got crushed at the hands of DC United. It was really...
They're dropping that far?
They're off the list.
Well, what'd you have them last week? Probably three?
Three. I mean, it's not that far.
That's foolish. I'm calling that nothing but foolish.
I agree. Foolishness. I took a sneak peek at his power rankings before we started, and I saw RSL wasn't on there and was...
You were going to lambast me for it?
That's foolish.
Especially for your number four team being on there in place of them.
Who's your four?
Philadelphia.
So you have Philadelphia and Houston ahead of Real Salt Lake.
The power rankings are a measure of form. I think that Philadelphia is coming back on the form.
Does one game establish form? one loss is form for URL Salt Lake?
Well, let's talk about how we make our rankings, because personally I do it on form, but I do it on form of the last 5-10 games around. But that's
me. Apparently, I just do it off of one game, and I just shake up everything.
If we're talking about...
DC United's number one. Let me ruin it for you.
If we're talking about last 5 games, then Chicago has to be in there. 4 wins out of 5.
They have been playing really well.
But they're also third last in the East, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have to take everything into account here.
The Fire continue this, though, and get into the playoffs. They will...
They need to win every...
They
need to win every game.
Because they will come in hot if they make it to the playoffs.
And Dominic Arduro is scoring goals and playing well.
On Ives' MVP watch list now.
We're not going to discuss Ives on this podcast.
Okay. I agree.
But, yeah, he's a dark horse for an MVP run.
All right, so if it's worth anything, my last three are FC Dallas, Seattle, and LA. There you go.
All right.
Well, I guess I will go next. Number 5, I have FC Dallas, just barely clinging to the top 5 right now. I am looking. FC Dallas have lost 4 of their last 5 in the MLS play, and what was a good start for them in CONCACAF Champions League is starting to turn sour with a home loss to...
Pumas.
Was it Pumas?
2-0. Okay.
So it was Pumas. Number 4, I have Houston Dynamo, who seem to be going on a good run of form. I always feel like there's one Eastern Conference team now that's seeming to getting to that 4 or 5th spot. And for me, it's the Dynamo. They've gotten 7 points from the last 3. They don't have to worry about CONCACAF Champions League, so there's a lot less worry on fitness for them. Number 3, I'm keeping with RSL, mainly because it was one loss, and they've won their last 4 in a row before that, so we can just call it a blip, and DC has been surging lately. Dwayne De Rosario is playing like a madman.
Dero is having one hell of a few months.
I'm sure we're going to be mentioning him in a few minutes.
I'm sure you're right.
And then Seattle Sounders, number 2, their CONCACAF Champions League's starting to dip after they won their first 3, and now they've got to win and draw their last 2, and then Galaxy number 1. Surprise.
As it seems to be per usual, my 5 is very close to Rob's. I have Dallas at 5. Not close to Ben's, yeah. I've got Dallas at 5. Again, just barely hanging on. They haven't scored a goal since August 27th in the league.
They need a Brekalution.
They have one goal in the last 6 matches, and that was against Toro at home.
Guys, we have some breaking news that is going to ruin your day.
No, this sounds...
Turns out there was a typo. 6 months for Stu Holden.
Oh!
Surgery revealed...
Everyone scramble to your phone!
As we all sprint to Twitter.
Surgery revealed cartilage damage for Holden, who is now at 6 months rather than the original reported 6 weeks. I'm sorry, Bolton. That doesn't sound like routine to me. That sucks so much.
Well, we'll still have him for the summer, hopefully.
That doesn't even make any sense. How does he play, like, 3 matches, and he's fine, and he's coming back to form? It's like, oh, well, it was there the whole time. Why did he even play at all?
Then just let him keep playing, then. Fuck it.
Where'd you read that?
He's going to get hurt anyway.
We got... Should we were to start Stu Holden, at Stu Holden? MFUSA, Brian Strauss, Ives, yep. Even though we're not going to credit him, Grant Wall.
Yeah, now they're coming out.
Yeah.
Marvelous. Well, regardless.
Anyway, sorry, I just felt as though that was worth mentioning.
Ben's brought nothing but shit to the podcast today. He's just shit.
I was waiting for you to say 8 days. I was going to be like, oh, maybe...
No, Ben's just bringing shit to this. Step your game up, kid.
I have not brought anything positive to this podcast.
It sounds like his Carling Cup match last week went pretty well, too, against Villa.
No.
Shut up.
Okay.
Oh, no, I thought that we were going to talk about Robbie Finley scoring against Newcastle.
We're going to in a bit.
What? That was a nice finish for those of us who saw it.
Yes.
Or listened to it.
All right, so back to my top 5. Dallas needs to score a fucking goal again. At 4 is still KC for me. 1 draw. I mean, the Union are surging, and I mean,
yeah, 4 points in two games. That is surging in the MLS.
Exactly. Zusi and Myers both having great seasons overall. My number three is Real Salt Lake. Yeah, they did lose 4-1 at DC, but they had a reserve team. They benched five starters. They didn't have their full squad. I mean, Kreis is looking forward to the rest of the playoffs. They're locked into that three spot, basically, and they're just going to try and get their, you know, they've had a rough schedule. They're trying to get rested and look forward to the playoffs. So, yeah, they got crushed, but they also won 3-0 in New York. Just absolutely demolished him. Raimondo's performance against New York was ridiculous. I keep talking about Raimondo.
Raimondo played well. What a surprise. Yeah.
If Raimondo weren't 5 inches shorter than Tim Howard, he'd be our number one, I think. I think Raimondo's that good of an athlete, that well-positioned, but he's just 5 inches shorter than Tim Howard.
I'll take your word for it, because you're a goalie.
He's shorter than I am. He's 2 inches shorter than I am. He's tiny. But then Raimondo's height also did catch up to him this week with DC. I think maybe two of those goals do get saved if he's taller. But still, fine. They lost with a reserve team. Shit happens. Seattle, again, playing reserve teams here and there. Lost at home to Herediano, which didn't go so well. Came back. Montero is... I don't know why he's not getting enough talk with MVP, because he helped get the penalty. He scored a ridiculous goal and also got another one off a deflection. And then they... Seattle took another point from another road point in CCL last night.
Comunicaciones,
yep. And LA still number one, winning at the Crew. The Crew are just a piece of shit. The Crew have fallen. They went by four about a month ago. Now they're 11.
One point in their last five games.
Yeah, they're like 11 for me right now. Just a piece of shit. And yeah, I always say if you want to win a title, things have to go your way. Chad Barrett had a one-time match winner. Barrett can't score goals. He's hitting one-timers for the win. That's when you know you're destined for a title. So that's my top five.
All right, now we're going to quickly move into MLS MVP picks. We have top three, I believe, is what we were supposed to give.
That's what I did.
Yeah, just do what you want, really.
Just go nuts. Rob, what do you got?
Well, number three, it hasn't been a complete season because of a miserable stint in New York, but I have Dwayne DeRosario, who is just going crazy right now. He's first in the MLS in goals. Number two for the next couple days anyway, the top team in the East, Brad Davis, also playing very well. And then number one, I think we're seeing when he doesn't play how poor their team can be, Breck Shea. And I should also mention that a very honorable mention candidate, Osvaldo Alonso.
Ozzy gets no enough credit for how good he is.
And it's a shame because Destroyers just don't win MVPs, but he is very deserving to be in the talk.
I would agree.
Ryan?
D-Row, I think if it's MVP last month, D-Row is carrying DC, but he got traded twice this season. MVPs don't get traded twice in one season. Just D-Row can't win. He can't win. Yeah, Breck Shea, again, Dallas goes as he goes, but it's got to be Brad Davis, because Brad Davis is the only thing driving Houston right now. I mean, he's top in assists, and just everything that Houston does runs through Brad Davis, and he is the most underrated player in the last decade in MLS, because no one mentions how good Brad Davis is. He has the best left foot in the league, and if he weren't just a piece of crap athlete, he'd be our starting left back or left midfielder right now, the national team. So Brad Davis gets my number one MLS choice.
I'm going to go with Brad Davis at three, then Breck Shea at two, and Dwayne at one.
How can Dwayne be one?
His stats are unparalleled.
He's
other
been
than anyone else in the MLS.
He's been traded twice in one season.
Well, by that logic, I think Latu would have won last year.
I mean,
I don't know how good Latu is, or was. I mean, because this year he's been not as awesome. But
actually, his stats, 8 goals, 8 assists.
Dwayne's got 13 goals and 11 assists. I mean, none of the other candidates can even compete with that. Brad Davis is tops in assists, but he's certainly not tops in goals. I mean, and Brad Davis is amazing, and like that's not saying like Breck Shea or Brad Davis, you know, wouldn't be good picks. I just think that Dwayne is literally the best player in MLS right now.
I think right now, if it's the past month and a half, absolutely it's D-Row. But you just look at the whole body of work.
13 goals, 11 assists, and 26 games started.
Look at the entire season.
That's pretty impressive.
Look at the entire season. Davis has been the best player on Houston since day one. He's been their driving force.
Has anyone seen Darrow's free kick that he beat Raimondo on this weekend?
That's nasty.
Unbelievable.
But D-Row was shit in Toronto, helped tear apart New York. He crippled two teams this season. How can he be the MVP if he's ruined two teams? New York got better after he left.
DC got better when he got there.
But if you ruin one team, you can't be the MVP.
I don't know if he ruined that one team. I mean, Marquez just kind of...
Well, Rafa is...
Is a story
it's,
all
it's not like Red Bulls had this revolution once he was gone. They still didn't win until last week, and now they're on two wins in a row.
But if you get traded twice in 1 year because you're a locker room cancer, you can't be the MVP.
And I agree on Montero. His stats are 9 goals, 8 assists this year, which... He had the slow start, but he's seemingly coming back into his old form.
And again, Don Oduro, if Chicago makes the playoffs, I think Oduro has to get MVP because they suck real bad, but they're still in the playoff chase because Oduro is carrying that team. And Sean Johnson in goal has been spectacular.
Okay, and what is next?
What do we got?
Well, I guess we have Wisconsin update.
You guess? You're not sure?
Fine, frickin' Wisconsin update.
Yeah, we haven't done our Jay DeMeritt update recently, which has been a good thing because Jay has not had a good year.
No.
He actually got a nomination for LVP with the Shin Guardians MVP, the debate. I mean, when you're ranked in the least valuable players of the season, you're not...
Not doing well.
Not great.
Okay.
Jay had a penalty called against him. Was at fault for two of the goals, kind of, just not playing very well. On the good side, Chuck Kozlowskis scoring again for Helmond Sport over in the Netherlands. Tim Ward, Waukesha-born, has been ghost since July. And Andy Stadler has a contract, so with our Wisconsin update.
All right, Yank of the Week.
Who do we got?
Michael Bradley.
Michael Bradley, he got an assist and a hockey assist.
Indeed. Tally Hall. Dallas hit the post 3 times, but the first 15 minutes, Tally Hall made 3 ridiculous saves that should not have been made. And that set the tone for the game.
So you're going with Tally Hall?
Tally Hall is the Yank of the Week, but also honorable mention to Robbie Finley for making Ben McCormick cry.
It was a hell of a strike.
And I don't know how he did it. I'm convinced that that wasn't on purpose. He was trying to float the ball out wide to somebody else.
He was trying to float the ball out wide and it accidentally went in the corner.
Yeah,
the
goal. And it accidentally made its way in from 30 yards out.
And Finley just said, oops.
Haters gonna hate.
Haters will hate. And I will
Well, he did come on as a sub in their 5-1 loss this weekend to Burnley, or yesterday, I believe it was.
All right, so... It's fitting we end this podcast giving me shit after I brought nothing to the podcast.
You brought nothing.
We give shit to shit.
You brought nothing but crap, and you're leaving early to go to class like a bitch.
Like a little schoolboy bitch.
Literally
bitch. One last candidate who needs mention, Jack Jewsbury.
Yes.
Having a very good year.
Gentleman Jack is, but still Portland aren't they very good.
All right, everybody, thanks very much for listening to this edition of Guilt by Association Football. We'll see you on Monday.
I'm sorry.